Glad to see all of you here this morning. Glad to see our visitors as well. If you have not yet filled out one of those cards that's on the back of the pew in front of you, we'd appreciate you doing that so we have our record of attendance. You can always tell when Otis has the comments because the microphone's down here and in everybody's business. It's a special morning, isn't it? Not only are we here worshiping our God and being together of like mind, but there are two people here this morning that we have been praying for, and it's such a pleasure to see them here this morning. Bernie's here this morning, and David's here this morning. Hey, if you haven't had a chance to go up and put some loving on them, do so, because I know that they have missed being here, and they love being here with you this morning. A couple of announcements we need to go through before we get into the lesson. Those of you who have been asking about the Transgenderism God and Me study that we did on Wednesday night this past month, maybe you missed one, maybe you needed to go back and felt like you needed to go back and listen to it again. All of those lessons have been uploaded to the church's YouTube channel for you to go back and look at and review at your convenience. Nick is still looking for people to help with the Camp Red Oak Springs session, June 12th through the 17th. And if you haven't checked your calendars lately, that's next week. If you are available, let Nick know. He needs the help. The kids need the help. By the way, excellent job both BJ and Nick are doing with our youth program. It's phenomenal, the involvement with the parents. It's phenomenal with the involvement of the kids. This is a worthwhile ministry that they're working on. And if you haven't said thank you to them and our other ministry coordinators and deacons lately, I encourage you to do so. Tonight, we encourage everybody to be back. We start our summer nights this day at 6 p.m. here at 2801 Enterprise Boulevard, Lake Charles, Louisiana, to be led in a devotional by our youth. This is another part of what Nick and BJ are doing with the youth. I think Caleb Derwin is our speaker tonight. That's good. That's exciting, guys, to have him there. And Sam is going to be leading a song. He's never done that before either. That's exciting. This should be a good deal. If you're not planning on being here tonight, that's to your detriment. Be here to encourage our young men in worship tonight. Life groups are set to begin August 14th of this year. There is a sign-up sheet in the back. If you and your family are wanting to participate in life groups for the second session of 2022, get your family's name on it. We need those names done before July 17th so that we can get groups set up and get letters mailed out, let the leaders know who's in their group to get moving forward with that. The 85th anniversary celebration is right around the corner. I want to encourage you, mark your calendars. Be here that Saturday and Sunday as we take a look back at what we've done, but more importantly, take a look forward at where we're going. There's also some sign-up sheets in the back, different opportunities to serve. Nick Melanson needs one more person to sign up with him to teach the young kids for VBS. That's the only spot that's left open on the VBS sign-up sheets. And if you have not had a chance to teach with Nick, you really need that blessing. Sign up on there for it. The prayer group list continues to grow. Daniel is still working on getting some more information out about that as we move forward. And finally, with the shooting in Texas here recently, a lot of questions have been fronted to the elders about security of the building, of the physical security of the building. They have heard your comments and questions, and they are working on a plan to make the building more physically secure while we are here worshiping. Sunday morning practice has always been that once the first song is being led, the doors to the auditorium are locked, and usually there's an elder at the back door to greet the latecomers that are coming in to get them in the building in that way. That practice will continue on Sunday evening and on Wednesday night. The buildings will be locked. All of the exterior doors on the building will be locked shortly after we begin Sunday evening worship and Wednesday evening Bible class. So if you show up late, understand that there will be someone manning a door per building to let you in if you show up a little bit late on those evenings. There's also some other plans in the work for building security. I would just encourage you to let the elders work it. They're working it. They're aware of what's going on, and they're getting it taken care of through all of that. Let's go ahead and open up our Bibles this morning to Nehemiah. I had encouraged you last week to read the first chapter of Nehemiah, and we're going to go through this chapter by chapter as we're studying it out. If you haven't read Nehemiah chapter 1, you're not going to get a chance this morning in the lesson because we're only going to deal with a few verses out of the chapter, but you have a chance to make that up this week. Read Nehemiah chapter 1 and 2. And get into the habit. I want to encourage you to get into the habit of just daily Bible reading. Not necessarily daily Bible study, but just read the Bible. You'd be amazed at the enjoyment you get when you sit down and just read the stories and just learn who the people are in the Bible. Those will lead you to study times where you're going to want to know more information. But just read the story. Get into the habit of reading the story. So we find ourselves in Nehemiah chapter 1 this morning. I would like to give you a quote from one of my absolute favorite science fiction authors, Frank Herbert. He wrote the Dune series and some other books, but just absolutely he's on my top tier of science fiction writers. And he had said, "Most civilization is based on cowardice. It's easy to civilize by teaching cowardice. You water down the standards, which would lead to bravery. You fence in the horizons. You make a law for every movement. You tame." Last week I had said that we will continue to do the ordinary until we are convinced that the ordinary is not good enough. And I believe the reason that we will continue doing the ordinary is because we are comfortable maintaining the status quo, living life as it is, and we are content to keep things the way that they are. You know why we're content to do that? Because it's easy. The minute we go against the status quo, the minute we go against what is comfortable, we become uncomfortable. And it makes us not feel right, right? It's difficult to face those ways. But the issue with the mentality of only being comfortable and only maintaining the status quo is that it will only lead us to complacency. And complacency only leads to stagnation, which means no growth, no movement, nothing at all is going on. And as Christians, this is the exact opposite of what our master calls us to be and do in our lives, that he calls us to a very dynamic life, to a life that is not stagnant, to a life that pushes us to the boundaries of comfortability and goes across them as we are changed by him to be the people that he wants us to be. Because whether we agree with it or not, God, the minute that we claim Christ as Lord, we enter into the program of God as he directs self-improvement. He's changing us. He allows the good parts to be strengthened and the weak parts to die off. And when you look at Nehemiah chapter 1, the first three verses, notice what's happening. With all of that in mind, read with me the first three verses of Nehemiah chapter 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. "Now it happened in the month Kislev, in the 20th year, while I was in Susa, the capital, that Hanani, one of my brothers, and some men from Judah came, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped and had survived the captivity and about Jerusalem. They said to me, 'The remnant there is in the province who survived the captivity are in great distress and reproach, and the wall of Jerusalem is broken down, and its gates are burned with fire.'" See, I think a lot of times we find ourselves maintaining the status quo without even realizing it. This news that is brought to Nehemiah is not new news. You can go back and look at Ezra chapter 4 and Ezra chapter 6 and see that this has been going on for a long time. Jerusalem's state of disrepair is the way it is. That is the status quo right now when Nehemiah receives this news. And more times than not, if we're actually being honest about it, we maintain the status quo for two reasons, at least two reasons, okay? One of them is that we're lazy and we're cowards. And the second is the reason we maintain status quo is because we want to control people. Look at what Jesus says in Mark chapter 7, guys. In Mark chapter 7, starting in verse 6, he says to them, "Rightly did Isaiah the prophet prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching his doctrine the precepts of men. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men. He was also saying to them, you are experts at setting aside the commandments of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and he who speaks evil of father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would help you is korban, that is to say, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition, which you have handed down, and you do many such things. The reason the Pharisees were passing these traditions down was to maintain status quo and control people. They wanted no change. And you look at verses like Matthew chapter 23. Verse 13 says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You shut off the kingdom of heaven from people, but you don't enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. This is more control. And I'm going to tell you right now, it is easier, notice I put that in air quotes, it's easier to control people, to keep it the way it is, than to actually bring about real change. To be the catalyst that God wants us to be for change. And we do this because we're either lazy or we're cowards. Nehemiah is told that the walls of Jerusalem are crumbled, the gates are burned, and this is not new information, and this is not a strange turn of events. This has been the state of things for years. Where we see a change in the narrative is that Nehemiah has had enough of the status quo. And it's interesting, isn't it, how one decision can change the course of things? That domino effect that comes, right? Think back to, you know, Caesar. We're all familiar with Caesar, the first ape that spoke. When he said no, and because of his decision to not go along with his handlers, there's a change in the human and ape relationship, right? So much so that Charlton Heston can't fix it. But it was one small thing. It's not big, but something was not good enough. And it's often when we reach that point where the status quo cannot be maintained any longer, we do exactly what Nehemiah does. We mourn. We mourn for the state of things, right? And we pray for the situation to change. We might even fast so that we can get ourselves in line with the mind of God through all of this. But perhaps where Nehemiah's path and ours split is on the subject of culpability. See, if you read Nehemiah chapter 1, you know what I'm talking about. Because not once does Nehemiah place the blame for the state of things on someone else. In fact, he begins by taking part of the blame on himself. Look at verse 6. As he's praying to God, he says, let your ear now be attentive to and your eyes open to hear the prayer of your servant, which I am praying before you now, day and night, on behalf of the sons of Israel, your servants, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which we have sinned against you. I and my father's house have sinned. This will continue in verse 7. He says, we have acted very corruptly against you. We have not kept the commandments, nor the statutes, nor the ordinances which you have commanded your servant Moses. We are to blame for what's going on right now. Now, couldn't we make the argument? How does Nehemiah have any culpability on what's going on here, right? He's in Susa. He's not in Jerusalem. He has nothing to do with this. Or does he? Is not the community meant to be viewed in this way, the way God had presented the nation of Israel to them? Has Nehemiah done his part through all of this, or has he just been comfortable this entire time being a cupbearer to the king. It appears to me as I read Nehemiah's prayer that he's viewing himself as part of the problem. And he's no longer willing to be part of the problem. He's ready to become part of a solution that brings glory to God, honors him for who he is, and gets Jerusalem back to the state that it needs to be. And if there's going to be any change in the state of things, he has to acknowledge that it begins with his own personal repentance. Because he's been a part of the problem. And it's from there that we actually see him moving to a seeking of God's will. This is what happens when we decide to lift ourselves out of the status quo. Now we're actually going to start looking for what God says and what's God's will in all of this. When you get down to verse 11, he says, "O Lord, I beseech you, may your ear be attentive to the prayer of your servant and the prayer of your servants who delight to revere your name, and make your servant successful today and grant him compassion before this man." That's the king he's talking about. Nehemiah has a plan. He admits his culpability. He understands what repentance is. He changes his behavior, and he has a plan, and he's going to act on it. We'll talk about that next week. He's had enough of the status quo. And chapter 1 is just one of the many defining moments in Nehemiah's life. Now is the time for action. He is just going to have to wait and watch and pray as opportunities rise up. Isaac, I need you to do me a favor. Run outside and tell me what's on the sign. Out front. I need to verify something before I say this statement. What's that sign say, bud? What's it say? Top to bottom, what's it say? Glenn will let you back in if you get locked out, I think. What does it say at the very top? Isaac just gave me the private salute. What's it say, man? What's on the sign? It's not a trick question, Isaac, I promise you. Are you trying to talk to me through the glass? Okay. Can we get somebody that can, one of the kids that can read, to go out and tell me what's on the sign? Go ahead. You did see the sign out there, right? The sign is still there. Were there any words on it? What were the words on it? No, on the top. All right, this did not go the way I was expecting it to go. He was supposed to come back in and say, "It reads Enterprise Boulevard Church of Christ." Is that what it reads? What's it read? Okay, all right. So last time I checked and last time Isaac checked, goodness, our sign did not read Enterprise Boulevard Church of the Status Quo. If you doubt me, read it when you're leaving today. Our sign does not read the Enterprise Boulevard Church of the Status Quo. We should not and should never be comfortable with the status quo. Ever. We should always be looking for those moments where we are raising ourselves out of the status quo, where God is defining us better than what we were before. We are the church of Christ. That means that we are the people of Christ. He is the one that defines us. He is the one that changes us. He is the one that gives us direction. And he is the one that causes us to be a dynamic people who live for him now. He is the one that will bring real change to the world as he works through us. We are nothing more than his instruments that are used to bring about that change in the hearts and minds of men. as Christ's representatives, not as the status quo's representatives. Look at yourself this week. Remember the promises of God. Think about what our reading said in Ezekiel chapter 18. If the wicked man turns from all his sins which he has committed and observes all my statutes and practices justice and righteousness, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions which he has committed will not be remembered against him because of his righteousness which he has practiced, he will live. Do I have pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, rather than that he should turn from his ways and live? Guys, I think we need to be paying very specific attention to what God's saying here. Because I think not only does it address how we live our lives as individual Christians, it also addresses how we interact with the world around us. See, because maintenance of the status quo in terms of the world around us is that we're perfectly comfortable knowing that the wicked will perish and we're doing nothing about it. We've made it into a sacred cow. Our comfortability. The status quo. And I think that there's other areas where I'm including myself in this one, guys, okay, where we have made sacred cows and we're holding on to them because of laziness or cowardice, a desire to control someone else. It doesn't matter, but it just does nothing but maintain status quo in our lives as individuals, as the church, and in the community. It's time to butcher them. It's time to confess culpability. It's time to repent. So when it's time for us to start looking for opportunities to be the positive change that God wants us to be. There are going to be a ton of defining moments in Nehemiah's life, and there are going to be a ton of defining moments in our lives where we're going to choose to either be lazy or to be God's people. And he'll let us choose whichever way. He's not going to make us choose to be dynamic. And if we want to be lazy, he's going to let us be lazy. But it's how we choose or what we choose that actually define whose we are. We cannot be satisfied with the status quo anymore. It's time to be a people of God's own possession. That's where Nehemiah finds himself. Lord willing, next week, we're going to look at his plan. And I'm going to tell you right now that this man prays a whole bunch about what he's doing. And he's afraid a whole bunch in these moments of his life. But fear does not stop him from being who God wants him to be and fulfilling the purpose that God has for him. I would encourage you that you not let fear stop you from being who God is calling you to be. But to be a people of God's own possession here in this building, which is wonderful and great, and it's really easy. But also be a people of his own possession outside of this building, which is wonderful and great and really easy. We just have to choose it. Eric's got a song we're going to stand and sing here in about 3 seconds. And traditionally, we use this time in our worship service as a time of invitation. This is a great time. This is the time for us to make a determination. And perhaps you're at the position this morning where you're looking at life and going, you know what, status quo has been great and I have not been living for Jesus throughout this whole course of my life and it's time to make that change. This is one of those defining moments where you choose to make the confession of Jesus as the Christ, to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, to be raised up out of the water, made a member of the kingdom, going to work for him. And maybe you're a Christian now and you've just kind of taken a step back because of fear or laziness. And you're done doing that. You're ready to re-engage and be who God's calling you to be. This is the time to make that confession. to step back into the relationship. Share with your brothers and sisters your challenges, the difficulties you've been having. Let us help you. Let the elders help you. If you need counsel from them, prayer, whatever it is that we can do for you this morning, we encourage you to come forward while we stand and sing.